we get into the message, because this particular assembly supports me, I would like to give a three-minute report quickly on what we've been doing this last 3.5 months. 3.5 months, we've been in Argentina. The first month, we've been working in camp work. These are Bible camps where we preach Jesus Christ as the only way to God. We tell the boys and girls who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ that Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. We tell the boys and girls at these camps, which have never heard, and I'll tell you why, they've never heard that Jesus Christ is Lord. These children are street children. These children are not from Sunday school classes. They are not from backyard clubs. They are not from five-day clubs. These children have been invited by the owner of this institution, this camp area, have been invited from the school system from all over the Republic of Argentina. And they come 30 hours, 20 hours, 15 hours. They come to this camp and spend 1 week completely free. The camp is worth $5,000 a week to rent out. But these people are millionaires, and they give the Christian population 1 week, four one-week periods at this camp. They invite my wife and I to go there. They do not pay us for our work, but they pay our airfare. $3,000. And we've been going there for 9 years. Now, those children, each one of them receive a Bible. If you notice in their hands, these children are from 33 hours away from bus. And they come to the camp, and each one of them get a Bible. And they get the name. There's Facundo Gomez. He received the Bible. Now, to us, the Bible is plentiful. But these children have never heard anything about the Bible. They might get visited by a priest once a month. They're from little towns, villages, bus stops, literally bus stops in little country towns, and they come and spend a week free of charge. And my wife and I are there, and we minister to them. My wife is in charge of the music, and she teaches them courses. Every day we have at least, 1 hour to 1 hour and a half of Bible. They know this before they come, because when we write them, we tell them what we're going to do. It's not hidden. We will give you a free week at camp, but here's our program. That's why we don't get everybody coming, because a lot of them are afraid. But the idea is to spend time with them. And Gloria and I and four other people, that's all we are, six in all, six of us, we spend time with 50 children and 5 adults from 6:30 in the morning till 12 o'clock at night. And I'm not exaggerating, because at 6:30 in the morning, I go from cabin to cabin and I go, vamos, vamos a orar. Vamos a orar. What I'm doing is going to the cabins, waking up my 6 people, and we go at 7 o'clock, we get on our knees, and we pray and we ask God to help us during the day. I also give them a 20-minute devotion, and we sit and drink mates and eat bizcochos. Then I go at 8 o'clock, and I go to the different dormitories, and I go, vamos, vamos, vamos a comer, vamos, vamos, vamos. And I wake up the kids, and we go to camp, and we start at 8 o'clock with the kids all the way to 12 o'clock at night. Go, 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 go. And the idea is to be with the children. I have to do hobbies, and here I am doing hobbies with the children. The idea is spend time with the children and show them that God loves you and we love them. Sometimes I sit there and I just help them make torta fritas. Each camp is completely different. It's the idea of spending time. As again, my wife is the one that's in charge of the music and the administration. This is my staff. I shouldn't say staff. She's here visiting from England. Myself and she's the one that preaches every day. She's from Child Evangelism. She's been with me for 9 years, and she preaches Jesus with her husband. This lady and this fella up there help me in most of the things I have to do, and they help in the music, and there's my cook. So it's not like Amble Island, where it's just about 1-2 racial or 1-3 racial. Here it's much less. So that's what we do at camp, and it's the idea of spending time and being with the kids. And then from there, what we did after a month of this, I would sit down at 12 o'clock at night on the end of my bed, and I sit there and I go, I fall asleep because we started at 6:30. And it's go, go, go. And at 63, it's not quite as easy. Then we finish 1 month at camp, 28 days at camp, 28 days of doing this type of ministry, four different camps, 50 kids. How many kids do we minister in the summer?
200.
Good for you. Oh, you must work for the government. Then we leave. We leave this resort area, you might call it, and we go to inland and we take meetings in assemblies. And here we are, my wife singing. In each meeting, she sings along with Alejandro Lopez. And maybe I could take this group of three, this wonderful trio with me, all over Argentina. You'd be famous. But my wife is in charge of the music, and I do the preaching. And we go from assembly to assembly, and it's all arranged ahead of time. Little groups like we are, there's six assemblies in Villa Maria Cordoba, and we go there and we minister to them. Also, we take camps and conferences. Here's a weekend conference with young married couples. And these were all young married couples who invited us to go. We spend a week with them and we teach them. And Gloria teaches the women, I teach the men, and we have a great time. And then on the weekends, as I said, we minister to them. And there we are just ministering to a group of people in a local assembly. And this year was a plus, because this year I had my grandchildren with me for a little bit of the time. This is my two grandchildren, my Argentine grandchildren. My son is very blonde-haired, blue eyes, and he married a very, morocha, a very dark Argentine girl. And we thought we were going to have coffee with milk in it, but we got straight milk. And these are my beautiful grandchildren. There's Chloe and Sarah, and they're from Argentina. So that's what we do in the summertime, and we certainly appreciate your prayers and so on. But today we're here to talk about the sower. I've been asked to share something on Acts, on Luke chapter 8. And so first of all, would you open up the Word of God, because that's the most important thing. And again, I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for being with me. And so, when you live out of a suitcase for 3 months and a half, you get tired. But God is with us. Souls are one. And I could go on, but I'm not here for that. Let's open Acts chapter, Luke chapter 8. Here we are. Now, the way we're going to read this, you're going to follow along. And since I'm a photographer and a very visual person, look at verse 4. We're going to listen to it, read to us, and act it out, okay? Are you with me? You can follow along in your Bible, or you can look up here. Verse 6.
Little way because they had no moisture. And some seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with the plant. And some seeds fell in good soil, and the plants grew and opened in each. Master, why do you speak in parables whenever a crowd is near? Knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you. To others it comes by means of parables, so they may look but not see, and listen but not understand. The seed is the word of God. The seeds that fell along the path stand for those who hear. But the devil comes and takes the message away from their hearts in order to keep them from believing and being saved. The seeds that fell on rocky ground stand for those who hear the message and receive it gladly. But they have no roots. They believe only for a while. And when the time of testing comes, they fall away. The seeds that fell among thorns stand for those who hear. But the worries and riches and pleasures of this life crowd in and choke them, and their fruit never ripens. And the seeds that fell in good soil
Verse 15.
Stand for those who hear the message and retain it in the word and obedience. They persist until they bear fruit.
This is exactly what it says in the Word of God, word from Luke's Gospel. And this is taken from the Jesus film. And if you didn't understand it, we're going to be going over it a little much closer now. This is a very well-known parable. We all know about it. We've all read about it. We've probably heard about it. But let's try to apply this to our own lives. It's good to read the Word of God. It's good to see the Word of God. It's good to hear the Word of God. But let's try to apply it. Not for the person to your left or to your right, in front of you or back of you. Let's look at our own hearts and find out what type of a heart we have. What type of soil do we have? Are we listening to the Word of God? Are we growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Are we producing fruit? So let's look at this and see what God has for us. So Jesus tells a story about a farmer who went out to sow seeds. Now, we're not all farmers, but when Jesus was referring to this, he was talking to people in the congregation, in the where he was speaking, and most of them were farmers. And first of all, he talks about the seed that goes by the wayside or on the road. And you could see that from the film, and you can see it from the Word of God. And instead of growing up quickly, well, we'll carry on with that. Let's go look at the three soils. Then he talks about the on the rocks or the rocky ground. So the first one, as we said, don't forget, there's only four: the wayside or the road, and then the second one is the rocky ground, and the third one is thorns, the weedy ground, and then the good ground. Now, well known. Known by all of us. But what is the real meaning of this? What is Jesus trying to get across to the people of his time? And what is Jesus trying to get across to you and I in 2008? How can we apply this to our lives? And what type of... first of all, the sower sows the good seed of the Word of God. This is the seed. This is what we're talking about. I've been a Gideon for over 30 years, just about 40 years, and I have given thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Bibles. I have given to 250,000 in Quebec personally. Dieu vous bénisse, Dieu vous bénisse, Dieu vous bénisse, Dieu vous bénisse, Dieu te bendiga, Dieu te bendiga, Dieu te bendiga, Dieu te bendiga. God bless you, God bless you. I believe in the Word of God. That's why I've traveled to 59 countries to tell boys and girls and men and women that this is the book we should be reading. I don't worship it. I don't get it down, and I don't bow to it. I don't worship it. I don't believe it's a magic wand. Woof! And people will be changed. But I believe this is what we should get into. And you and I are called of God to sow the seed. That's the first biblical explanation of this parable. Now, if you're not a loudmouth like I am, that's understandable. My wife is not a loudmouth. She sows a seed. You know how she sows a seed? Singing. We have these three lovely young men sowing the seed by playing the guitar. We have a person up here sowing the seed playing the drums. We have this trio, which was beautiful. They were sowing the seed. Oh, well, you're going to say, Ron, I'm not a loudmouth. I can't play an instrument, and I can't play the piano. Beautiful, that young lady playing the piano. I can't do that. Tracks. There's tracks there. Grab a tract. Oh, well, I'm shy. Put them on windshield. Don't touch the car. Just slip them on the windshield. You're going to say, that's against the law. It's not against the law. I checked into it. Long as you don't touch the car. You just take the thing, and you just put it on the windshield. I remember a few years ago, I've told you this story before, but for the new ones, I was over here at Alpha, and I was giving out the Word of God, and an RCMP officer came up to me. He said, excuse me? I said, yes, sir. I'm giving out Bibles. Kids are coming out of school. They're macho, you know. They don't want to stop and pick up a Bible, so they want the Bible, so, you know, and they keep, you know, sort of escondido, hidden. And the policeman puts his arm on my shoulder, and I said, s'il vous plaît, because he said, Rennie here. He was a little French-Canadian RCMP officer. I have a lot of respect for them. But he tried to stop me from giving out the Word of God, and I'm there. And he said, you have to stop. I said, I'm sorry, officer, I can't stop. I'm on the sidewalk. I'm on public property. I go to the municipal hall before time to make sure that I'm not doing something against the law. And he raises his voice. Praise God. You know why? The kids started slowing down. Hey, this is action, man. This is guy's going to get thrown in the clink. And they're slowing down. And so when I'm saying, here's the Bible, they say, thank you. You know? Well, make a long story short, after 20 minutes of high energy adrenaline running through my body, for one thing, refusing to stop because of an RCMP officer, I was sweating like anything because I don't usually do things like that. The kids have gone by and I turned to the officer. I said, I'm sorry for being disrespectful, sir, but I know I'm in my right. I'm on public property. I'm not distracting traffic or anything like that. I'm not on the roadways, I'm not on the schoolyard. And according to the municipal government, I'm allowed to do this. Would you like one? And he left. But that's sowing the seed. Now, you may not be able to do that. I remember in a beautiful Argentina one time, I had Dr. Zandinino, a fantastic preacher. Fantastic. I asked him to come help me deliver Bibles. There was a tree there. And he hid behind the tree. I mean, he was shy. It's just not his thing. But you can sow the seed in your own way. When you're shopping in the shopping market with your thing and you see somebody picking up some cornflakes. Oh, I like Christmas. Just try to open up a conversation. But we have to realize that many times it will fall, just people won't listen to you. People won't listen to you. And the first example is the wayside or the road path. And the lesson is the soil on the road, you're witnessing to somebody, you're telling somebody about it, and the people look at you and you say, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting. The person looks at you as if you just come from outer space. But that's Satan. Satan is real. We're in a warfare. And believe it or not, I believe that we are in a tremendous warfare in beautiful British Columbia today. We've got to sound the battle cry. Now, you're coming up with the CCC here, and that's a fantastic thing. I won't be able to do it because I'll be literally in bed. But when you come to give out tracts, when you go visit your neighborhood, do it for Jesus. And people will have apathy. People will be disgusted about it. People will because of pride, will not even listen to you. We are not told to save person. We are told to what? Sow the seed. Sow the seed. And again, we can do it in so many different ways. I believe that the providence that God has called me here this Sunday, especially with your upcoming campaign, your upcoming meetings. This is so important that Jehovah's Witnesses, they're not chickens. They go along and they knock on the door two by two, and they were at my house the other day. Unfortunately, I wasn't home, but they left a tract. The Mormons, they're not chickens. They're not wimps. I disagree with their doctrine. I disagree with their teachings, but I admire them, excuse me. They are not afraid to go out and to sembrar, we say, to seed, to sow the seed. But we are. Why? Because a lot of time it falls on the wayside and we get discouraged. I get discouraged sometimes. Do you know, the year at camp, let me tell you this quick story. This year at camp, it was so exciting. We were in the kitchen, and we're in a private property, and of course, we have fences saying, a private property, do not enter, in Spanish. And this young man, 18 years old, came in, and I thought, what's this guy doing here? Another one of these guys just coming in to sort of look around. Choose me, are we say. And I says, hola, ¿qué tal? ¿Cómo está usted? And he said, fine, thank you. I said, my name's Ron Edgecombe. He says, I know. How do you know me? He says, I came to this camp 8 years ago. He says, I'm from Neoquin, which is approximately 2,000 kilometers south. He says, I came up in a bus. I was 8 years old. I said, oh, that's it. In the kitchen, we have a big board with pictures. I'm a photographer, and I take group pictures, as you saw up there, and I put them on the board there. I says, oh. I says, come here. I said, are you there? And he came, and he looked at him. There I am, a little scrawny little run, 8 years old. This is 10 years later. I said, oh, what are you doing here? He says, well, I'm over at another camp here, a Lapin, which is a child evangelism camp. And he says, I'm learning to be a missionary. I said, oh. When you were here, were you? No, he said, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior here at this camp with you and that lady over there 8 years ago. Praise God, we never knew. We sowed the seed. It's the first time somebody's walked into that camp and told us that they got saved. But we sowed the seed faithfully. Even though much of it falls by the wayside, much of it Satan will zap out of us, much of it that people will get you tracked and they'll look at you and they'll look at the track and they'll say, Vata, allez-vous-en, fiche-moi la paix, get out of here. I don't want to see anything about this. What are you trying to do about this religion stuff? But sir, we're not talking about religion. We're talking about a relationship. Get out of here. That's going to happen. Don't worry about it. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the seed, which is the word of God. And even though we feel bad because we're flesh and blood, and I feel bad after doing it for 50 years, I feel bad. But we've got to realize that Jesus knew this. That's why he's given us this parable, so you and I won't be discouraged. The wayside, the rocky path, the seed will fall, but Satan will snatch it away real quick. But you know, the second one here, we have some of it falls on rocky ground, but there's a little bit of soil there. See, you looks like you're sembrando, you're sowing seed outside, and it's growing nice, isn't it? It looks like, no, I guess that's moss killer. But anyway, a lot of people in spring sembrar, they put the seed down to grow grass, and you can see it. It's coming up now. It's coming up. Have you seen it? I've seen some houses I drive around. It's beautiful. But see, that's nice ground. But a lot of it is rocky ground. But there is a little bit of soil there. And that's kind of exciting because at least the people will listen to you. And what happens is that they will respond. Because not everybody will respond. Not everyone will follow Christ. But some people will accept it. And you see them coming out to the meetings and they're interested. And it seems to be possible that they're saved. But they haven't made that commitment. And what happens? They lose their job. Someone in the family gets cancer, they have problems, and you don't see them anymore because it wasn't rooted. It wasn't rooted. It wasn't grounded in the Word. It was a head knowledge and not a heart knowledge. Don't get discouraged. And I'm glad Park Crest Bible Chapel doesn't get discouraged. The doors are still open. I know you would love to see these seats full. I would too. But you're doing what God has called you to do as a local lighthouse in this neighborhood. And I'm sure people have come in. They've sat down. They've sung. They've been with you. They've gone to a Bible study. But then, where's Regina? Where's Walter? They were here for 2 months and they've gone. See, because see, they accepted the word, but it wasn't rooted. It says, with the heart man shall believe. It's your heart. And you are called to keep sowing the seed. The next one is a very interesting one because I find this happened quite often to a lot of people in my ambiente. I'm having a little trouble in English. I'm sorry. In my neighborhood and my friendship and my is that it goes on weedy ground. These are people who accept the word of God because the ground where weeds grow usually is fairly good. I mean, as the weeds are growing, that means there's life. So you sow the seed and it grows up. But what happens? There's so many other things. The weeds represent all the problems in life. It's the power, the world's value of power and money and self gain And they don't want to give up this thing. And the truth of the gospel is, and it withers away. It withers away. Don't be discouraged. God is on the throne. He's in control. We're doing what we're to do. I can think of a Catholic gospel chapel where I attend when I'm there. That's very profound. I attend Catholic. There, yeah. Anyway, I can remember one Mr. Bentley at the door for at least 15 years. See, God had called him to be a doorman. Are you willing to be a doorman? Are you willing? And when he opened that door, he had that huge, I've never seen him in a tract distribution. I've never seen him preaching. But welcome to Cascade Gospel Chapel. Come on in. We all must sow the seed. He was sowing the seed. So when that person came in, their hearts were ready to receive the message because they felt welcome. Woo! They felt welcome. And they were there and they were taking the word of God. But there again, sometimes it didn't grow. Sometimes all the cares of this world, all the problems, all the anxieties of this world, and what happens, it withers and it dies. Now the good soil, there's always a positive. But remember, this is only 25%. So if you get 20% on your labor, you're doing what the Bible says. So that means if you talk to 100 people, 25 will listen to the word of God, and many of them will maybe accept the Lord. Maybe not right now. Maybe it might be 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. Maybe they'll look in their Bible and that they got from grandma, and they put that tract in that you had there, and it's been sitting there, and it's put 3 inches of dust on it, and they haven't looked at it for 4 years, and then their child starts taking drugs, and he gets into trouble with the police, and so he goes to that book and he says, well, maybe there's some help here. Oh, where do I start? Ah, there's that tract that you gave them 5, 10 years ago, and they'll maybe accept the Lord Jesus Christ. I've seen it over and over and over again. But don't give up. God is there. The idea here is really to do what God wants you to do and to share what God wants you to share with others. Okay, let's look at these again now. Very quick. The wayside. It's when, as I said, when we tell them about Jesus, when we tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we tell them a Bible verse, they might laugh at you. They might say, this is wrong. I say, just keep giving the word out. I used to be a hunter in La Belle Province of Quebec, and I used to go with a coureur de bois, Gaston Jourdain. Remember him? We used to pray for him a lot in the assembly. Great man of God, tremendous man of God. I used to go hunting with him, and he taught me how to hunt. And I had a 300 Magnum, and this was not to kill animals for you animal lovers. This was to eat, to morfar. In northern Quebec, it was our food for at least 4 or 5 months. Anyway, we'd go out, and we'd pray, and we'd ask God to give us a moose. And I'd be there, and I'd go out there with him. And when I saw a moose, I would look. Now, I wouldn't try to explain to that moose all about my gun, or about my Red Deer 15 power sight on my 300 Magnum. I wouldn't try to explain it to them. You know what I would do? I would just shoot. The Word of God, we don't have to tell them that we are pre-milled, pre-trib dispensationalists. We don't have to tell them anything about glorification, sanctification, or even justification. We got to tell them that Jesus loves them. And if we tell them that and they refuse it, we've done our job. We don't have to tell them how wonderful Park Crest Gospel Chapel is. We have to tell them that they have wonderful music here, they have a good program here, that it's a friendly church. Tell them about Jesus. I remember when I was at Bible school, I gave the same example. And I was preaching in chapel. I was 23 years old at the time, and I took a starting pistol with me in my pocket. And I was giving the same illustration. And I was trying to tell the students, I was telling myself, I was only 22 years old at the time, that we have to use it. So I took the gun and I shot it. Well, I just about got expelled because some of the teachers were older, they were old at that time. They were 30, 40, 50 years old. And they just about died because it was a starting pistol inside a small area. But that was just an example I gave. But we've got to use the Word of God. But we've got to know about the Word of God, too. And that's why we have to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed. That's why we have to study the Word of God. That's why we come to Bible study. That's why we come to the local church, the assembly, the meetings, so we can know the Word of God, so we can share it with others. Share the gospel with others. Sow the seed. Tell others about Jesus. Tell them that he's the truth, the way, and the life, and it's wonderful. Then, of course, the second thing, people will have doubts, people will have, with pride, people with distrust, people with apathy, people with criticism. That's what they'll have. But it doesn't matter. These things are things that will happen in your life, and people will see you. And go back the next year. At Cascade Gospel Chapel, I worked there for 6 years full time. And every 2 years, I would do the neighborhood. And I would walk around the neighborhood. I was a full-time worker at Cascades. And I'd say, good afternoon. My name's Ryan. I just come from Cascades Gospel Chapel. Oh, weren't you here a couple of years ago? That's right. I did it for 3 times in 6 years, every 2 years. And people started to know me. People started to respect my tenacity, you might say. And some of them came out. And some of them are still in the chapel today because of that. Then mustn't be discouraged. Remember, some of it will go on rocky ground. But again, some will go on rocky ground, and some will go among the thorns. And when we think of that, we think of the world's values of power, money. We think of self-gain and all these things. And these are things that people will have in themselves, which will reject the word of God. Matthew 6 says, you cannot serve both God and money. So if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, if you want to have fruit for your labor, if you want to see men and women come to know, and boys and girls come to know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, remember, you can't serve two masters. And you have to serve Jesus 100% from him. He wants 100% of your life and my life. He wants 100% of our whole being, not 99, not 98, not 97. He wants your whole car. He wants the driver's seat, the passenger seat, the back seat. He wants the trunk in the back. He wants your whole house. He doesn't just want your living room, dining room. He wants your bedroom, your bathroom, your living. He wants everything. But when you give it over to him, you are going to lose nothing. You are going to gain so much that. Yes, good stuff. We got to look at the positive. Good stuff. The good thing, how can you live? How can your life become good soil for the gospel? We're going to touch on that very quickly. We have to allow God to break hard ground in your life. And let the gospel have very strong roots. These are three very important things. If you want to have good soil in your life, if you want to be productive, that's what God wants. He wants to see us to produce fruit. Remember the story of the trees? And Jesus was walking and there was a tree. It was dead. It wasn't producing fruit. It reminds me of a little joke. Don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but anyway, there was in Villa Maria, we have a plaza. Every city in Latin America has big plazas. And in this plaza, one day went up a tree. And I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just telling you what happened. And anyway, this monkey went up the tree. And, you know, it started causing commotion. So the Lance will like this one. So you know, that the people were stopping, and so the police came and tried to get the monkey down because it was causing. The radio came, and the television came, the newspaper came, the photographers came, and the police came, and finally the firemen came with their big ladder, and they couldn't get that monkey down. It was causing a lot of commotion in this town. So anyway, a priest came along, and the priest came along, and he looked up there, and he looked down, and he just went like this. All of a sudden, the monkey came down. Well, the reporters were around him, and everybody was there, and they asked the priest, well, why did the monkey come down? He said, well, you come down, or I'll cut the tree. Anyway, that's a joke. So anyway, why do we give that example? But anyway, we've got to eliminate weeds in your life. If you want to be productive, you've got to eliminate weeds, worries, pleasures, or riches. That's what we need. We have to have that good soil. And to have that good soil, you've got to eliminate weeds. You've got to eliminate things in your life. So I have to eliminate things in my life. I love the computer. I love internet. Oh, I could spend hours. But I have to eliminate a lot of things in my life. I like to zap the television. No, I don't like to watch television. Zap, 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 zap. My wife goes nuts. But I have to eliminate some of that. I have to find another wife. But these are things that we have to do. We have to cast all of our cares upon him who cares for us. If you want to be productive in your life, you've got to cast all your cares upon him. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard you, your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. If you want to be productive, that's going to be one of your main verses. I've got a lot of problems. You've got a lot of problems. Look at those prayer requests. Try to remember them. I mean, I'm going in on Thursday, and they're going to cut this knee all open, and they're going to change everything inside, and I'm going to be walking around with crutches for how many months? I don't care. because I'm looking forward to that bedtime when I get on the internet. No, no. But anyway, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So when you're at that door on this campaign you're having, when you're at that door and the people come out and I've been spat in the face, yes. I've been spat in the face, yes. Or they might just tell you where to go, how to get there, the quickest way possible. You can just say, I'm not going there because Jesus has provided me a way to heaven. So you've got to take it positively. You've got to take it that you're doing what God wants you to do. And you can't let things get in your way. He will never leave you. He's with you. He's beside you. They're rejecting Ron Edgecombe. They're rejecting Jesus because I'm there as his representative. I'm there as his ambassador. For the love of money is the root of all evil, for which some have strayed from the faith, in which greediness and pierces themselves through with much sorrow. This is what we have to realize, that it's not all about money. It's about witnessing. It's not all about climbing the ladder of success in your business. It's about being faithful to God. Conclusion. May the seed God has planted in your grow, mature, and multiply. I went out yesterday looking for M&Ms. I was going to give you all some M&Ms today. You know why? Because when you look at an M&M, think of mature, grow, mature, and multiply. We've got to mature and we've got to mature. Yes, may the seed God has planted in you grow, mature, and multiply. May the Lord bless this message on the sower, and may we go with confidence, and may we get all those weeds out of our lives. Let's really pray for this. I'm excited. You know, last week I was at North Surrey. Was it last week? 2 weeks ago I was at North Surrey. I got home, I think, on this Friday, the Saturday. I was at North Surrey, and they went out. I don't know if you heard this one. Do you know how many people came on Sunday? I believe 8 unsaved people came on Sunday night. What they did, they went out of the neighborhood. It was the same, and they gave out tracts and CDs and everything, and they invited them for a free supper. And there at North Surrey, I was invited to speak that night. I was invited to speak on my trip to Argentina. And I got there, and they were in the gymnasium. They weren't in the chapel. They went out of the box. They went out of their comfort zone. They stretched out into the community. They invited the 8 unsaved people were there, I believe. 8. Well, I didn't talk about Argentina. I talked about Jesus 100%. And 2 of them came up and talked to me. I don't think they accepted Jesus, but the seed has been sown. So God bless each and every one of you now as you go into your community, as you go out to witness and preach and teach, as you go out to give out tracts, as you go out to tell them to accept Jesus. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, God Almighty, we thank you once again for this tremendous parable about the sower and the seed. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have called each and every one of us in our own loving, kind, gentle way to seed, to sow the seed. We pray for those who are timid, Lord, that they will find a way that they can sow the seed. For those, Heavenly Father, boisterous, may you continue to use those. Use those with music, Lord, help them to sow the seed. Heavenly Father, those that have homestays from other countries, help them to sow the seed. Heavenly Father, for those who take care of children, for people who are working, help them to sow the seed. Help all the mothers and grandmothers here to sow the seed. Help us as men, Heavenly Father, in our businesses and where we work, where we play. Help us to sow the seed. Those who are going to university, Heavenly Father, help them to sow the seed. Those who go to community college, help them to sow the seed. Thank you for Awana. Thank you for the importance of Awana. We pray as they teach in the Awana groups, Lord, that they will sow the seed. And Father, we'll give you all the glory. Use us. Usame, Heavenly Father. Use us. Use each and every one of us this week and during the rest of this month and next month and all the time. Help it to use us. For your honor and glory, we ask this. Amen. Thank you for coming this morning. And mothers, again, don't run away.